Jones. She's a graduate of UCLA School of Public Health and has led a variety of health promotion programs over the past 25 years, including the Cancer Information Service of California at the UCLA Johnson Comprehensive Cancer Center, the Health Education Resources at Education Programs Associate, and the Valley Health Plan Health Education Department. She currently provides leadership and staff support for the Bay Area Nutrition and Physical Activity Collaborative, which is a six-county Bay Area collaborative of over 250 member organizations that work to facilitate system and environmental changes shaping nutrition and physical activity behaviors. Since 2009, Susan has co-taught a class on patient health education in community clinics through Stanford University School of Medicine. Welcome.
Thank you.
In my organization, we have to take a brief physical activity break during every meeting, so would you mind standing up just for a moment, stamping your feet maybe four or five times, waving your arms around, rolling your shoulders. Thank you for indulging me in that. I appreciate it. So I'm going to be talking about how our regional collaborative impacted over 300,000 Bay Area residents with healthy beverage policies. And then I'll tell you about some more recent activities that we did building on that. I have no relationships to disclose, but I do have the slightly embarrassing disclosure that I learned through this process that when you have a collaborative editing process with your whole leadership team, that I, as the coordinator, needed to do a more careful copy editing. So any minor grammatical inconsistencies are all my responsibility. So, as you just heard, BANPAC, the Bay Area Nutrition and Physical Activity Collaborative, is a coalition of over 400 individuals and more than 250 Bay Area organizations working to improve access to healthy foods and physical activity, especially for underserved populations. It's led by Santa Clara County Public Health Department. Since 2004, with support from the California Department of Public Health, Network for Healthy California, and a variety of other funders, most notably Kaiser Permanente Northern California Community Benefit Program, that has supported BANPAC from the very beginning. We've now expanded to be a nine-county Bay Area, and for those of you not from California, the reason that I refer to counties is that that's the local health department unit in California. There are many reasons to support the decrease of sugary beverage consumption, one of which is that they're the largest contributor to increased calories. For instance, in the period from 1977 to 2001, they were 43% of the calories that our society has added to our diet. BANPAC's Rethink Your Drink initiative began in 2008. It's a regional dissemination, basically, of local programs. It started with the Alameda County Soda-Free Summer Campaign in 2007, and then in 2008, Santa Clara County adapted that as Rethink Your Drink so that it would be year-round, and when BANPAC, with the support of Alameda County, made that a regional program, we decided on Rethink Your Drink partially because so many of our partners were USDA funded and the USDA does not allow you to disparage any food or beverage. On the other hand, the advantage was that it was a year-round program impacted more than soda, since there's now so many kinds of sugary drinks that people are drinking really even since that time. In 2008 and 9, field research did a study funded by the California Endowment, and there was a couple of parts to it. One part was soda-free summer cards returned by respondents. We had over 5,000 cards 5,000 commitment cards returned to us, and a random sample of those were called to see if they'd made any changes. And of course, if this was a longer presentation on this data, which I think has been done in the past at APHA, it would show that, you know, there's not this many said that they had decreased soda and just asked what changes had you made it was 15 to 20% volunteered this amount, but then later on when read a list of have you made any of these changes, almost half said that they were drinking less soda, and it was a larger proportion of Latinos. We also found from the study, there was a evaluation brief that Samuels and Associates put together, and we found out through that, through interviews with key partners, that some of the organizations who are our partners that had had these Rethink Your Drink trainings had made organizational practice changes as a result. So maybe they had stopped having Donut Monday and replaced it with something else. At the same time, we had quite a bit of anecdotal evidence and our own observation that you'd go back to these organizations that had trained people on how much sugar was in a sugary beverage, and maybe there wasn't even water available at their after-school event or their community event or their parent group. So with support from Kaiser Permanente, we decided to move into organizational policy change, and we did that in 2011, and another one of our partners at BANPAC, Healthy and Active Before 5 in Contra Costa County, had done a program called Pledge the Practice, Pass the Policy, where they recruited childcare and preschool and daycare environments to have healthy food and beverage environments. So with their support, BANPAC made this a broad regional program affecting adults, children, and all kinds of environments. So again, with the support from Kaiser Permanente, we were able to help 15 organizations pass healthy food and beverage policies that ended up benefiting over 308,000 people, which was about six times as many as we had estimated. So that was very exciting. Here's a picture of some of our healthy beverage leaders from last year. These people were honored in 2012. So when we started this in 2011, 2012, we had a couple of processes that helped make it work. One was that we developed MOUs with the organizations so that we'd know right away that if top management was in support, because you could work with an organization for months and have the person that you're working with be all supportive, but then find out that the board or the director or the president or whatever was not going to go for it. So they had to sign, and we had to sign an agreement, and they pledged to work on passing a policy and coming up with a short implementation plan, and we pledged technical assistance, educational presentations, and a small implementation incentive that we were able to provide through Kaiser. It was a very small amount of money, but I think it did make a difference, according to the interviews, what people said. So the criteria for these first policies, BANPAC kind of made up out of air from what was our policy for our own organization was, you know, no sugary beverages. But we decided that since we're going out into the community and people are so used to having these, we'd start with no sugary beverages sold or provided to children and youth up to age 21. But we really encouraged the organizations to embrace a broader wellness policy that included healthy food standards, physical activity promotion, and to include staff. And most of the organizations did do those things, and I think it made it easier for the staff to accept the healthy beverage policy and the clients to accept that when it's part of a broader movement to support a culture of wellness in an organization. So in 2012, these 15 organizations, almost half of them were children, youth, and preschool organizations. But as you can see, there was quite a variety of other kinds of organizations from a low-income housing provider, Medi-Cal health plan, local municipality, et cetera. Can everybody read these quotes? Because I don't want to read them to you. Can anybody not read the quotes in the back? Okay, so these are just a couple of quotes explaining the process. Sunnyvale Community Services is a provider of emergency services, so they're a food pantry and they help people with funds to pay their rent if they're about to become evicted. So they help people, they help keep people from becoming homeless. And Lift for Teens is a program that provides youth programs to schools and other organizations. And they and the other organizations found that it was, despite some initial pushback, it was easier than they anticipated to make this work. So the first, this first year, we didn't do very much evaluation. We had a pretty small grant. We really wanted to put the resources into technical assistance. And so we were measuring how many people we impacted. We were measuring whether the policies matched the guidelines that we'd come up with. And we did some interviews, but the whole more qualitative evaluation process was kind of conceived and run by a graduate student who I'm sure learned a lot in the process, and you know, we learned something too, but it didn't come up with the kind of findings that a professional evaluator would have. So when we got additional funds in 2013 from Kaiser Permanente, or actually the end of 2012, to extend this program, we built in an evaluation component that it included a comprehensive beverage availability assessment tool and other things. And so we thought, well, why not go back and just look at the organizations that we worked with initially and use that tool as a post-test just to see, well, what's their beverage environment like after we've spent this time with them. So we tried to contact all 15 organizations. We got responses from 13. It turned out that all of them provided free beverages at community and client events and at staff meetings and events, and that most of them provided free beverages in their staff room. So of those providing them at community and client events, only one did not adhere to the healthy beverage guidelines, the 100% healthy beverage guidelines in doing that. And no organization provided provided regular sodas anymore. So you might say, well, how do you know that they ever provided regular sodas? Well, we went to meetings at their organizations and we saw them provided with lunch at our first meetings. So we did know that they originally did provide sodas. At staff meetings and events, there was a little bit less adherence, a little over 3/4 stuck to their healthy beverage standards. For those meetings, again, no sodas regular sodas were provided, and again, covering staff was not actually required, although most of the organizations did cover staff, but not all. In terms of staff room availability, hot cocoa was a favorite. Now you could say, well, that's a condiment, like, you know, a little bit of cream or sugar, but basically it's a sugary drink, so we're counting it. And then one each offered energy drinks for whatever, I mean, I guess their employees needed more energy, or another offered sweetened non-dairy milk. In terms of regular sodas and sports drinks, there was quite a bit less of that, although I think half the organizations did have vending machines, and so half of those did have regular soda in them. Two offered it in their snack bar, and also with sports drinks, there was some of that available. They claimed that they didn't have control over the machines, and I'm sure in most cases it was true, but not necessarily in all of them, from what we knew. So in 2013, Kaiser has again funded us to work with 20 organizations to help them pass wellness policies that this time we want them to meet the Public Health Institute's 100% healthy beverage standards for adults. These were slightly revised after we started the program, but not meaningfully, and we did not revise our version of them. So these are the PHI 100% healthy beverage standards, which are quite strict. And limit even juice to a moderate amount. They do, however, allow diet beverages and non-caloric sweeteners. So far, 18 organizations have passed wellness policies meeting the 100% healthy beverage standards, and these have benefited another 250,000 Bay Area residents. And the way we count how many people they impact is that we ask them how many staff, how many clients do you serve, you know, each year at your events, how many volunteers, student interns, and so forth. So the good news besides this is that several of our partners, several BAMPAC partners, have augmented the collaborative effort by individually supporting organizations with their own funding to pass these policies using BANPAC strategies tools and the same PHI 100% healthy beverage standards. So the San Mateo County Public Health Department, Shape Up San Francisco, which is a collaboration between the Public Health Department and the Mayor's Office, the Health Trust, which is a funder in Santa Clara County, and the South Bay Kaiser Permanente Community Benefit have all contributed additional resources to help another 18 organizations pass wellness policies that include 100% healthy beverage policies. And these now benefit another 100,000, over 100,000 Bay Area residents. So now in total, these policies benefit over 675,000 Bay Area residents, which was quite a bit more than we ever could have imagined when we started. So in terms of what's worked, we've really been trying to help organizations sort of change their norm from the idea that sweets and sweet drinks are perks and benefits to the advantages of having a organizational and worksite culture that promotes health. So in each of the organizations, we've worked with organizational wellness champions to support the policy development, implementation, and sustainability. So you might say, well, who the heck are wellness champions? You could call them wellness committees, but as my younger daughter would say, committees are a place that fun goes to die. So we've not called them committees. Some organizations call them committees, but they do function that way. A readiness assessment is available. So if an organization isn't sure if they're ready to take that risk, this helps them know where they are on the continuum of readiness. An online toolkit outlines each step of the process. Now we have the beverage availability assessment, so we're tracking progress before and after implementation, and our evaluation is just going to be starting next month, so we don't know yet what the results are. I've been busy just trying to get up response rates by offering small gift cards, etc. Organizations are sent sample policy and implementation plan language, and because now there's been so many policies passed, we're able to send really tailored policies to them. So if they're a youth organization, we'll send policy from a youth organization. We always send like the shortest, most succinct, less than one page policy so that people don't feel overwhelmed by paperwork. For instance, if it's a church, we would send them one from a church. And interesting to us, African American churches have really been leaders in this effort. Seven of our organizations have been African American churches who have passed these 100% healthy beverage policies. And we help provide management staff presentations to build support, not only support for the idea of a policy, but just even educating people that your typical 20-ounce soda has 14 to 18 teaspoons of sugar, since so many people don't know that, but also for the advantages of having a policy and how that helps make the healthy choice the easy choice. All our policies and our toolkit and all of our tools are online at www.banpack.org. If you'd like to see them. And that's it. Thank you.
Please join me in thanking all of the panelists for wonderful presentations this morning. They were